This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
How great to have with us this morning Mr. Gerald Celente. Jerry is president of the Trends Research Institute, editor of the Trends Research Journal. Take a look at his website, trendsresearch.com. Jerry is his own man, very outspoken, always interesting to listen to. We can learn a lot from him even when we may disagree. Gerald, you have a tremendous amount of knowledge and wisdom to tell us about the economy. What the heck is happening right now?
Well, right now, we're still in recession. And all of the stimulus packages, all of the financial drugs that they've been pumping into the system is making it appear as though this chronic disease is being cured, but it's really not. And when you look behind the numbers and why Wall Street's going up, it's quite obvious. We have firms such as Starbucks and Caterpillar and others showing better than expected earnings because their cuts are bigger than expected. They're saving money, they're cutting back on the workforce, and they're showing better losses. That's all it is. And in the banking sector, of course, we know what that is. And it's essentially our money going to bail out the bankers and them washing the money and showing profit. So this is only a temporary remission, as I said. And the worst is still yet to come. You cannot save an economy by printing phantom money out of thin air, based on nothing and producing practically nothing.
Well, Gerald, I guess we could say that they've spent, what, $2 trillion, or maybe it's $11 trillion to have increased the stock market by a couple of thousand points in the Dow. But it hasn't done much for the actual economy. As you say, we're still in a recession, and they're papering things over a little bit like Franklin Roosevelt and Herbert Hoover did, but it didn't work then, and it's not going to work now.
No, and it's a global meltdown, and that's what people really need to understand, Lou. When you see what's happening with China, for example, with their massive stimulus package, now the numbers are up to almost $1 trillion U.S., and what has it done? Well, it's temporarily boosted their economy, and they're, of course, in better shape to do it than we are because, of course, they have a trade surplus. We have, what, $700 billion in the hole each year, and they have budget surpluses while we're over $11 trillion in the hole. But even with what they're doing, their exports are off 23%. Those are Depression-era fall-offs. If America doesn't consume, China doesn't grow, period, paragraph. And then we look at the other numbers that are liars' numbers and how they're being interpreted. Let's look at the recent unemployment numbers. They came in lower than expected. What, only 250,000 people thereabouts lost their jobs, and they applauded because it wasn't 275,000? That's sick humor, and that's what Wall Street is doing.
I noticed that they were saying also don't worry about these unemployment numbers because there are a lot of people who are just going into the discouraged worker category and aren't bothering to look for work anymore. And so that's not really a problem. But of course, this is just a Clinton era finagle in the figures to take people artificially out of the unemployment rate. I mean, if the discouraged workers were included, we'd be what, far higher, what, 15%, 16% unemployment rate?
Actually, when you look at the effective unemployment rate, when you add in people that are no longer looking for work, those that are off the rolls, those that are looking for work and can't find any, and then add on top of that the people that are working part-time and want full-time work, and we have an 18.7% effective unemployment rate.
Recently, somebody said to me, do you think we're going to have as bad as a time as the Japanese recession? And I said we'd be lucky to have the Japanese recession because, of course, the Japanese people save so much more than we do, and the Chinese people save even more than the Japanese people. So they've got those kinds of cushions, and here when all of a sudden Americans are starting to save a few percent, the Keynesians are crying doom and gloom, but the rest of us know that while this is better than zero or minus some minus percentage figure, still nowhere near what, in a healthy economy, Americans should be saving.
Exactly. Exactly. And they're really not saving it. It's not as though this money is going into the bank and going to be spent in the future. It's going to pay off the $14 trillion worth of consumer debt out there. And so this is a fake number as well. And as you well point out, it's well below the averages going back into the 50s and 60s. People ask us, Lou, how can we get out of this? And they say that, you know, we point out the problems. What are some of the solutions? We can say what the solutions are after having examined the problems as long as we have. The solution is let Wall Street fail. It's a fallacy that this country needs Wall Street. And that's not hyperbole. We need Main Street. We don't need Walmarts. We need mom and pops. And we don't need factory farms. We need family farms. Again, this isn't rhetoric. It's fact. When that was the model of America, back when many of us were growing up, I'm in my 60s, we were the most egalitarian nation on earth, bar none. We were the envy of the world. Now the gap between the rich and the poor is the widest in the United States than any of the industrialized nations. The wealth of the nation is going to the too big to fails. The concentration of wealth is before us all. For this for us to turn around this country, we have to let these giant too big to fails fail and let the slack be taken up by Main Street, by community banks, and by the strength of the states of the nation, not of Washington.
Gerald, when we hear all this about concentration of wealth, of course, it's a matter of the state getting richer, the industries and special interests connected to the state getting richer, whether it's Goldman Sachs or whomever else, of course, as you point out, at the expense of the rest of the country. Can this continue? I mean, what do you see in terms of the political impact? Is Obama getting weaker? Is it becoming more difficult for them to advance their essentially socialist agenda in healthcare and other matters, or are they going to sail on merrily on the same path?
First of all, we don't call it socialism. Socialism is egalitarianism. That's when everything's spread equally. This is a too-big-to-fail system, and when you look at the companies that we, the people, now ostensibly own parts of course, we really don't. We're just slaves and serfs to keep them going. The merger of corporate and state powers is called fascism, and that's what Mussolini called it, and he's a guy that knew a thing or two about it. So we look at this more as fascism. During the days of FDR, Wall Street hated FDR. Now Wall Street's hijacked Washington. You look inside the Obama administration, it's the Goldman Sachs gang and the Citigroup criminals. So we don't see it as socialism. Is it being weakened? Yes, it is, and he's losing power. Obama is at this point as his ratings fall in the polls. Let's go back to 2001 and let's look at what happened when George Bush was going down in the polls and he was being ridiculed for taking his month-long vacation as the country was still getting over the reverberations from the dot-com bust. All of a sudden, the face of the nation changed with 9/11. We would not be surprised if there's something that happens to regenerate President Obama's popularity. We're not saying that it's, you know, that they're going to do something, but of course we don't put anything past anyone in government. Read my lips, no new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. I smoked, but I didn't inhale. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. So those are the kind of things that can happen on a fundamental level right now. And again, no one could predict the future because of the wild cards. As I said, there can be a false flag or a real event that distracts the people's attention once again. But what's going on now, and we're going to be doing a trend alert on it within a day or two, the second American Revolution has begun. The first three shots have been fired, and the media is either missing them or downplaying them. The first shot was fired on April 15th when we had the Tea Parties and the tax protests. They downplayed them and ridiculed them. The second shot was fired on the 4th of July when patriotic Americans took to the streets and again protested the high taxation without representation. The third shot is being fired now, as the people are going to their congressmen and their senators who are holding meetings when they do hold them and protesting loud and clear that they want no more government in their face. This is historical, but the media is downplaying it. The politicians on the left are marginalizing it and trying to change it in another direction. The revolution is underway. It has begun. In the history of the future, when it is written, they will miss these three dates. A bigger date will be in the future. But those of us that follow trends and forecast them, and as you well know, we had forecast these tax protests would occur when Bush was president. We did it in 2007. Lou, the second American Revolution has begun.
Gerald, do you see more movements towards decentralism, maybe even towards secession, as Americans want to get out from under that carbuncle in Washington, D.C.?
Again, current events form future trends. How many states have now passed to ensure their 10th Amendment rights? And we're seeing the secessionist movements, and one of the founders of the movement, Thomas Naylor, up in Vermont, the head of the Second Vermont Republic, making headway every day. And yes, we see America, what's happening to the USSR is happening to the USSA. It's breaking down. You cannot control a number of people, over 300 million, by a centralized government. It's too big to operate. In the future, we definitely see more secessionist movements and even regional governments.
Gerald, it's a great note that the U.S. government is not too big to fail.
It's amazing to me, Lou, how people could actually look up and call these people their leaders. I want to go on record as saying that Nancy Pelosi is not my leader. Barney Frank is not my leader. Bonner is not my leader. Mitch McConnell is not my leader. President Obama is not my leader. George Bush wasn't my leader. Clinton wasn't my leader. These are political hacks. They're a criminal organization, the two-headed one-party system with the cooperation of the Wall Street gang has pushed these people on top of the American people and are stifling the entrepreneurial spirit that makes this country great by taking all of our money and giving it to the too big to fails so there's no competition. We need mom and pops. We don't need Walmart. We need Main Street. We don't need Wall Street. And we need family farms. We don't need factory farms. And this, as I said, the second American Revolution has begun.
Gerald Celente, thanks so much for all you're doing in tracking these trends and telling us about what's going to happen in this country. Take a look, everybody, at trendsresearch.com. Gerald Celente, thanks a million.
Hey, thank you, Lou.
You've been listening to the Lou Rock.